98, Belukim bo tachti lo ira, ma yase adam li. This sounds like the end of Yigdal. Hashem li v'lo ira, Belukim bo tachti. Hashem, I have faith, lo ira, I have no fear, ma yase adam li, what man will do to me, period. Let's do the next two psukim. Olai Elukim nidorech, and upon me, Elukim nidorecha, Ashalem toidoy slach. I accept upon myself to offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu offerings, and I will pay my offerings of thanksgiving to you. Okay, we'll read the mezuzah in a few moments. Let's read the words. Ki hitzalta nafshi mimavis, you have saved my neshama from death. Haloi raglai midechi, you have saved my feet midechi from being pushed away. L'hisalech, so that Lifnei Elokim bi'or ha'chayim. Well, very mystical things here. Let's see the mitzvahs. Pasuk Yud-Beis.
Very similar to Hallel.
Yeah, absolutely. Es halech lifnei Elokim be'eretz ha'chayim. There it's the eretz ha'chayim. Here it's the or ha'chayim. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs David. Mitzvahs David, Pasuk Yud-Beis, which appears on page 498, Pasuk Yud-Beis, Belukim Botachti, Af Midas Hadin Botachti, Shlo Yasebi Chola. Okay, so here he's saying a very interesting idea is that David, the previous Pasuk, it's a little bit of continuation of the previous Pasuk, where Pasuk Yud-Alef is a spectacular Pasuk. The last Pasuk we did, Belukim Ahalel Dovar, Bashem Ahalel Dovar, which we explained to me. Everyone basically says the same thing in the Farshim. David says, I will praise you, Hashem, no matter what. Doesn't matter if you deal with me in Midas Hadin, I will praise you. And if you will mete out to me Midas Harachamim, I will likewise praise you. Any form of mishpat, of hanhaga, of conduct, which you bestow upon me, I will accept full-heartedly and I will praise you. Elokim is Midas Hadin, and Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is Midas Harachnem. Whether it will be with Midas Hadin, I will praise you. I will praise you, Dovar, with words of praise. Whether it will be by Hashem, you will conduct yourself with me with Midas Harachnem, Ahalel Dovar, I will praise you with words. Both Midas. This, by the way, is a very important principle, is also to acknowledge Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We say this in Kriya Shema every single day. Is that a person, unfortunately, can be misled, and this was the way it was in ancient times, when the Goyim, those that, many Goyim were just atheists, didn't believe in anything, but those that did believe had a very big problem with Emuna, because there are conflicting, contradictory signs of how this world is conducted. There is Or and Choshech. There is a sun, and there is a time, okay, the time in the night when the sun is in control, is dominant, and then there when the moon is in control. There are, and the ancient people, who were religious, they believe that there are multiple gods. There's a god of the evening, a god of the evening, and a god of the sun, god of the day, god of the night, a god of the sun, a god of the stars. Every single different thing in this world has its own force, and most significantly is there is the force of good and the force of evil, like all of the cartoons. The force of evil, there is a koyach of midas hadin and a koyach of midas harachamim. And Abikorsim, they come to the conclusion is that there are conflicting gods, there are different gods, and there's a whole battle in heaven, the pantheon, and there's all different types of forces, and they fight. And a human being is always looking to get on the good side of all of them for different purposes. And that we know to be pure, unadulterated apikorsis. And we reject this theme every single day, multiple times, especially when we say the pasuk Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which has many interpretations. But one of them is Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei, which is Midas Harachamim. Elokeinu is Midas Hadin. And sometimes it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts himself with us with mercy. And sometimes it appears that Hashem is conducting himself with us with harshness, with din. And it's a very great nisoyon. Why today has everything gone the wrong way? Everything that can go wrong went wrong. And on another day, everything that can go right went right. And it's the statistics are impossible. It's not like, you know, sometimes I walk, this friend, he told this, you say to me, I always think about it, walking in the street, and I told this to you before, something very, very strange happened. Extremely bizarre happened when we were going, I don't even remember what it was, and he said to me, tell me, what are the chances of that happening? I mean, it's just so bizarre. So I said to him, 0.001. So he said to me, you're wrong. The chances of what just happened are literally zero. It's not the chances are this things can happen in this world, it's 0.001. No. The chances of what just happened are literally zero. And if it happened, it is an act of God. It is a hashkocha process that only Hashem can do something like this. You're not talking about over here miracles l'mal derech hateva. We're talking about you know, hashkocha process, what you would call a coincidence. Okay, so there are different types of coincidences. There are coincidences that are you know, okay, the chances are, you know, one in a million, and then there are zero chances that this can happen. And that is a revelation that this was an act of God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. So sometimes you see things that are just unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamish, is working in your favor. He's really going to bat for you. And sometimes it's no good. Where is Hashem? Hester Panim. So a person can be misled to believe there are different forces. Today you're under the force of Yudke Vavke. And another day, you're under the force, you're subject to the forces of Elohim Din. And every day in Kriya Shema, we say Hashem Elokeinu. We acknowledge sometimes there is Yudke Vavke, and sometimes there is Elokeinu, there is Midas Hadin. And the conclusion is, don't dare make a mistake and think that there are two different independent gods that are at war with each other or take turns. That's apikorsis. Hashem Echad, it's one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's only one Ribono Shel Olam, and for whatever his reasons are, which we will never understand, there's a time when Hashem conducts himself with us with Din, and there are times when he conducts himself with us with Rachamim. This is something that is unique to the Torah. The Goyim were not able to accept this. The goyim of the world were not able to accept. It's hard for us to appreciate this because it's so pasha to us, this concept. But the ancient people, it was not at all simple that there can be such a thing where there can be one God who does everything, who is in control, is Or, and there's Choshech. There's Toiv, and when there's harshness, Midas Hadin, it's the same Hashem. It's one Ribono Shel Olam, and he conducts himself in different ways depending upon the situation. He's multi-dimensional, multifaceted, but it's all for a singular purpose of doing chesed with the world and with Klal Yisrael, and elevating man to give man an opportunity to grow, to develop, and to earn his portion in Olam Haba. Hashem Echad. And if you think about it, it's something very, very deep. And David HaMelech, in his own words, says this in the most eloquent way in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Belokim Ahalel Dovar, BaHashem Ahalel Dovar. Whether you conduct yourself with me with Midas Hadin, I will praise you with words. Whether you conduct yourself with Midas Harachamim, I will praise you. It's all the same. It's all coming from the same source. And now he goes on to elaborate, Belokim Batachti, in Elokim. Okay, we have to really understand why he's focusing on Elokim and not going back and focusing on Yudke Vavke, but he's saying, Belokim Batachti, Lo Ira, at a time of din, I had faith in Hashem and I was not afraid. Mayase Adam Li, Mitzudas David, page 498 from Mark, who has arrived here on the scene. He's only 2 minutes late, but that's okay, Mark. It's not as bad as me. Elokim botachti, ah, v'vidas adin botachti, shalo yase b'yakala, you would not destroy me. Umo im ken yase adam li, and therefore, what could a person do to me? If a person had put his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has nothing to worry about. They say this about the G'dolei Yisrael, there's a Messiah. Anyone ever try this? I once tried this. I don't know if it worked. Is whenever you're in danger, you're supposed to completely think, Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem hu Elokim. You close your... What? Ain't it Movade?
No.
Hashem Elokim Ain't, you say all together. Hashem Elokim Ain't it Movade? You think, you totally concentrate on those words. I used to do this. I'm terrified of dogs. I used to, when I was a child, I was once attacked by a dog when I was a little kid. Nothing happened to me, but I was terrified. It's a massive, massive dog was chasing me on the Lower East Side. In the park right in front of all the buildings. It's a massive dog, like a horse. And I was terrified. It really damaged my relationship with that animal. All of its chaverim. And so I used to go, every so I used to go walk down the street and then you see massive dogs. Different types of dogs, little dogs, but and I was terrified. Terrified. And I was coming close, getting closer. So I would close my eyes and think, Hashem hu Elokim ein oid mulvadoi, and try to concentrate the best that I could. I made a difference. But that's the Mesorah. The Mesorah is to hear these stories about G'dolei Yisrael in World War II when they were really literally ben hamavos l'chayim in the most dangerous situations. And I remember which G'dolim they were traveling, they were escaping from the Nazis, from the Ukrainians, from the Russians, all of these whole chevra of wicked people, and they were mechavin. They told the Talmidim to be mechavin with intensity, Hashem hu Elokim, and the Mesoira is if a person does that, he is mufka from harm. Nothing can possibly harm him.
Rabbi, you have to thank that dog that terrified you because of him.
Dr. Fastek, one second. Mayor Abelova speaking. I'll give you the mic in a second. Yeah.
They had Shein Rathayim, had a division called Zibbenberg that they had combined with, and they weren't bringing in enough money, so they decided to split it. So the first busman, I forgot his name, what was his Pinchas? He was sent by his uncle, the Lord Rebbe, together with another guy.
Yeah.
Lazer Shadikin. He was sent to Lvov, the head of the Tyra.
Yeah.
And they wanted the Tyra, and World War I broke out.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get away, and they were being attacked by soldiers. And Bustman said he knew a Lachash, he wasn't afraid. He knew how to say this. And the other guy said, teach it to me. He says, I can't teach you because it won't help me. It'll be worse. And after the other guy, he insisted, the other guy learned it, and he was killed. And until today, the Boston family celebrates the yard side of the other guy because they feel he was killed by using the lachash that they gave him.
It was a lachash? What was the lachash? Whatever it was, a Kabbalistic thing, whatever it was.
And then he ran to, the Greek islands, and he had an Ottoman passport and he couldn't get out. And they wanted that. So the chief rabbi of the Ottoman of Greece put him on the first boat that was to America. And that's how he ended up in America, became the Muslim rabbi.
Interesting.
This is the story.
Okay, Dr. Fastag wanted to say something. What were you saying? Speak loud so we can hear.
I was just saying that.
Speak loud, we can all hear.
Okay.
We lost. Hello? Yeah.
You hear me now?
Okay, we'll try you. Yeah, I don't know what the sound is coming out of here. I'll put my microphone
on. I'm just saying that, in retrospect, the dog terrified you is actually a good thing, because
a good thing
to be thinking about Shri Barashti, there's nobody besides him. It's a very big madriga, you know. He actually, in some way, he helped you to grow in the Rufius.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't wish this upon anyone.
No, I don't wish it to anybody, but it looks like Hashem, like Yosef HaTzadik said, you know, maybe you didn't do it with the best of intentions, but Hashem did it with the best of intentions, you know, that...
Okay, it's a very scary thing you're saying, is that people go through terrible nisyonos in life, and there's no question about it, that the people, they grow through the nisyonos. I go once in a while to visit someone that's very, very, very sick. I can't even begin to tell you how sick this person is. And it blows my mind how much he suffers. It just blows my mind. And I look at him, and he's in my eyes, he's like the holiest person in this world. He's like Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyoin, who's being torched alive, okay? Like you know, they were torturing him, and they put to his body sponges of water in order to preserve his life so he can suffer more. So this person I go to, he's on life support, he's awake, he's conscious, he's in excruciating pain. I don't know how the pain management team, he has 24/7 care, and he's in a lot of pain. It's very obvious he's in a lot of pain. And there's no question in my mind that this neshama is obviously an extremely holy neshama that Hashem brought to this world for a reason that we have absolutely no clue of what's going on over here. And he's suffering with incredible emunah. It just blows my mind. So this neshama is obviously being elevated every second as we speak this moment. His neshama is being purified and being elevated to exalted levels of spirituality that I don't think anyone in this world can have a clue of what's going on. Does anyone in this world wish to be in this situation? No way. No way in a billion years. Like, my mind is just blown apart to see what's going on over there, and I can't even take it. I can't even. It's hard just to look at him, and yeah. So this neshama is going higher, 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 but this is not for the faint of heart. This is something which the only thing is to be mispalel is that he should not be in pain. Heshava refuah, and no one should ever, ever, ever know from something like this. As we say in davening. Lo lidei nisoyoin, v'lo lidei vizoyoin. Chazal say, lo yehein v'lo yischoron. Chazal already said this 2,000 years ago. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to have difficulties in life and grow from them. It means not talking about the regular difficult, we're talking about the difficulties of an unusual difficulties of suffering. Chazal say it's not worth it. It's just, oh, but by having it, the person is going to be elevated to exalt the level of spirituality, and in the next world, Olam HaEmes, is going to be like no one ever saw where he's going to be. Yeah, that's taka true, but you know something? It's not worth it. Because the Gemara says this. The Gemara, loy hein v'loy scharon. We don't want this. So in the next world, it won't be? So it won't be. It's not something that a person should want, should ask for, should wish upon anyone else. I can't say, but the Gemara is loy hein v'loy scharon. And when Hashem does it against someone's will, it's against his will. It's against his will, so it's a very in hashkafa. We don't want this. We don't want anyone. Obviously, a person came into this world to grow, and without even trying, a person will have plenty of things to deal with. Every person in this world, whether he likes it or not, he's not here for a free lunch, has plenty on his plate. plenty.
Rabbi, we just said that we're supposed to bless Hashem. If Hashem gives us only rachamim and nice things, pleasant things, and if Hashem gives you a hard time, you also...
100%. If Hashem gives it to you, but you don't wish it upon anyone.
No, of course not.
You don't wish it, If a person doesn't have a choice. Most of life, you don't have a choice. 99% of life, unfortunately, but a good part of a person's life, it's this is what's meant to be. I mean, obviously, you have free will, everything, all that, but the person is put into a certain seviva, a certain situation, and there's plenty opportunity to grow and develop and earn an exalted place in the next world without having what Chazal say, Yisurin. Plenty to deal with on a regular, ordinary, everyday level. You can exalt the level of spirituality. There's no need for any of this, the difficult stuff. But yet, David over here says, this very powerful, Belukim botachti lo yira ma yase adam li. Next, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Alai Elokim, next Mitzudas of Alai, Mutal Alai L'Shal Hanadam Shardati L'Chobi Eisitzar V'Hasham B'Soyde V'Halel. David's Alai. This word of life, you're learning Daf Yomi. I'm sure everyone here in this room is learning Daf Yomi. Harei Alai. Learning about Nazir, a person has plenty of obligations to pay off when the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. Alai is upon me, Elokim, Alai, Elokim. What's Elokim repeating the Elokim? Mutal L'Shal Hanadam Shardati L'Chobi Eisitzar. It is interesting that the Mitzudas David really ignores the word Elokim in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It's like David is speaking to Hashem, Olai, it is upon me, Elokim, to you, Hashem, Nidorecha, to fulfill and bring to you thanksgiving offerings. And he repeats himself, poetic repetition, Ashalim, Toido, Islach, I will pay a carbon Toido, thanksgiving offering to you. Chazal said that when Mashiach will come, the only carbonos that will be offered will be carbon Toidois. All the other kabbonis will be bottled. There will be no need to bring sin offerings because people will not sin. So the only offering that will be offered every day will be a carbon toida. Pasuk Yudalit. In the Mitzvah Stavit, ki hitzalta al asher, this is a configuration, al asher hitzalta, navshin maves, vi'af halo hitzalta gam raglai milios nidochim oid. You've also saved my feet. Milios shom bing nidochim oid, midchi. El Dechi, you've saved me from being pushed away. The word Dechi means like Dochui. Dochui means to push. You've saved me from being pushed away. That's a very powerful concept in life. In life, people, many people will tell you they feel they're being pushed out. They're being pushed out of their business. They're being pushed out of their family. They're being pushed out in shul, there's a chevra who, you know, they're askonim, the gabai, the this. They're pushing me out. They're pushing me out of being part of the inner circle. People at work, they work hard to enter into a certain unique status. I used to sit at the dais. I sat at the front of the dais, and now they push me. I no longer sit in the center of this. I sit now on the side of this. I was told that by the Aguda convention, the amount of planning and precision politics to make up the dais seating arrangements is extremely intense. Where everyone sits on the dais, who sits in the middle, who sits on the right, who sits on the left, they put out cards. You know, they put out cards. I collected some of them. They don't realize what a spy, a mole I was. They're going there. Yeah, everyone. No, that one thing always goes according to plan. No one sits in the wrong seat. The question is, where are they assigned to seat? They print up cards on the dais. There are cards, and the rabbanim and the speakers, they come and they find their place, their card. And they sit where they're supposed to sit. And it's very political. It is a very political thing. That's how it is. It's almost like a statement. That, you know, who's making these decisions? I wonder who's really sitting down and making these decisions of where everyone sits. It's not by accident where people sit. And it's a statement of where you stand. When they show you an image of all the people in the dais. You know, so some places, who cares? You know, people just sit wherever they want to go sit. Some places there's a lot of politics. upper dais, lower dais, left side, the right side, all depending, certainly, don't compare, a yeshiva dinner, if this is dinner, it's arbitrary, what difference does it make? A day is a very big thing. I remember, it used to be years ago, they still do it in a lot of places, is by a wedding, a chasana, there's a dais, by a wedding, there's a table. And at the table, in the center, is the chasana kala. And then there is the grandparents. And there are certain people that sit, that are invited to sit at the table at a wedding. Probably everyone, by your wedding, I imagine you probably had a table like that. Today, the style...
What's table
one? Today, the style is, they have a little table for the chosen and kala, the zehu. No one else sits at that table. Just a little romantic table for the chosen kala. And the family, and the Rosh Yeshivas, they sit at other tables. They don't sit, that's a much more common thing today. I assume that to be much more common today. There's just, there's a little in the center, chosen kala, family sits here, the Rosh Yeshivas sit here. But it used to be, and it still is to a very large degree in the very right-wing circles, it still is to a very large degree, there is a center table, a long table, and on that table is the chasen kala, and a lot of people who are selected to be there. If you're dealing with a very big wedding, it depends, everything all depends, which includes, obviously the parents, the grandparents, but they also put their other people. It's very interesting. There's a lot to be said about seating. Now here, how did I get into this? The best event I ever went to, this event years ago, I used to be on the Agudas Daf Yomi Magidim list. It was a Choshev Shir, Daf Yomi Shir, and I was on the list of Magide Daf Yomi. And the Aguda used to have, they don't have this anymore. They used to have every so often a little convention by invitation only to all of the people who are Magide Daf Yomi from all over the country. I remember they had two of them. One was really nice, the other one wasn't so great. The one that was very nice was they had Rav David Cohen Shul. It was a Sunday morning. It was a Sunday morning, Rav David Kono in Gvul Yavetz on Coney Island, and everyone there gave a Daf Yomi, a Magid Daf Yomi shir. People came in from all over the country. All over, people came in from California, all over. I remember there, he wasn't the Rav yet, Rav Moshe Tov Yalif. He was still in Minneapolis. He was still in Minneapolis. And he flew in. And it was a very, very hush of a crowd. And they had, different speakers talking about all different issues relating to Daf Yomi, how the techniques, giving shiurim, you can use your imagination what they spoke about. And they began, and it was an Aguda event. They paid for it. It was an Aguda event, Agudas Yisrael of America. They actually played then this video of the Sima Shas. It was a different time. It was many, many years ago. It was really outstanding. And I don't remember who it was. The person, he gets up in the beginning to open the program, and he says that he's been working for the Aguda for many, many years, and he plans events, and this is his job, to know... I don't remember who it was. I will have no recollection who it was. He says, I do all the logistics and the planning, and I want to welcome everyone to this event. And I want to tell you, I've done many, many events for the Aguda, all different types of things we do. And this is the first time in all of the events, that at least I've been doing for them all these years, where we don't have a dais. Every Aguda event, he claimed, we have a dais. A dais of five people, a dais of 10 people, there's a panel, There's a convention. There's a dais between five people to 100 people. There was always a dais. This event, there is no dais, because we said, who are we going to put at the dais? Everyone here in the room is a Magid Shir. Everyone should be on the dais. Everyone should be on the dais. So this event, there's no dais. Everyone here is an equal. He had no das. He had no das.
He should have said every table is the dais.
Whatever, he said something like that.
No one has a dais.
It was a very interesting statement. It was a different Yahweh, it was a different time. It was a different time. You can't, it was before 9/11, it was before COVID. It was before, it was a different world then. It's hard to appreciate how powerful those words were at that time. It's a different world then, totally different world. And then I'll tell you the joke with Rabelsky, Zech Tzarek Levrach Rabelsky. I remember us telling us in Shir, he says he had a Talmud. I don't know if he was telling us, I assume it's a true story. A Talmud, he used to joke a lot. Rabelsky was a very cynical person. He had a very, very good sense of humor. He had a Talmud that called him up and said, Rebbe, you know, tonight, you know, he was probably 25 years old, and he got smicha from Torah V'das, and he got a shtela, some shul, some community out of town. And Rebbe, they're having tonight a community meeting, a community board meeting. And I'm the rabbi of this shul, of this little shul, whatever, and they want me to come. And they want me to sit on the dais. So, mi ani? Who am I? I just got my smicha. The ink is still wet. Who am I to sit on the dais? To sit on the dais with all the rabbanim and the askanim and the gedolim. So Rabelsky said to him, don't worry. Let me tell you how it goes. You'll go tonight. It's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. I'll put you there on the corner of the dais, all the way at the very edge of the table, there at the very, very end of the dais. It'll be a little uncomfortable. You'll rub shoulders with some people there, but, you know, you'll get through it. But don't worry. Next time, it'll be very easy. You won't feel uncomfortable. And the next time, you'll actually enjoy it. And then the next time, you'll be insulted if you're not sitting a little bit closer towards the center. And then there'll come a point in time where you're going to want very much to be in the center. It doesn't pass to sit at the end of the table to me. And then, you know, we'll go from Madrega to Madrega till ultimately you'll come to the highest Madrega. You'll be sitting there in the center of the dais, and you look to your left, you look to your right, and you'll be upset as, why are they also sitting here? It should only be me. It'll grow on you. All right, so getting back over here to our Mesilas Davidov, he says over here, I'm going to give you only thanksgiving offerings, only carbon todas, lost love. There's not going to be any carbon chatas, asham. There will only be offerings of toida. Pasuk Yudal in the Mitzvah Stav Ki Yitzalta, because you saved my neshama from death. V'yaf halo yitzalta gam ragli mi, so that's how I got to this. Dechi is to push people off the dais. That's how I got to this. Do you want to push people out? The word dechi is a very powerful concept, and David over here says over here in Pasuk Yudal.
Dechi is yachad, togetherness.
No, dechi means to push. This is a very, 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 very powerful pasuk. In life, you see it all the time. People are always trying to push you out. The honeymoon is over the moment you get in. Look at Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalis. You have a president of the United States, right? How long does the honeymoon of a president of the United States last? No, not even. Not even. Right away, the first thing is, let's get rid of him. They want to get rid of him before he starts his first day. Okay, and it's like that in everything in this world. Even unfortunately, people become a rabbi of a shul. Right away, okay, it's time for a new rabbi. It's time, there's always, and there are some people that make a lot of noise. Empty cans make a lot of noise. And in life, it's very, very common. People are always trying to push you out in everything you do, whether you're a gabbai of a shul, whether you're a CEO of a business, whether you just have clients, someone wants to steal your clients, whether you're a maggid shir, in everything in life, there are people always trying to take away what's yours. That's the way the Ruach Hashem made the world. People are trying to push push you out, to push you over. Let me take over because I can do a better job. Elaine and Shul, let this guy Elaine, push him out. Push him. It's the way it is. That's the way Hashem made this world. And sometimes you have bullies. You have bullies. They come along and they succeed. They succeed for no good reason. It's just a matter of an evil nature. And David here says, this is a very powerful, a very important, relevant pasuk. Ki hitzalta nafshi mimavis. Hashem, you saved my neshama from death. Haloi ragli midechi. Now, it's, according to the Mishnah, the word ki, it's ki, you have to repeat kedarka, the words ki hitzalta. You have saved my ragli midechi. Haloi, basically, I'm reading this, haloi ki hitzalta raglai midechi. The words of ki hitzalta are meant to be repeated. The opening words of the pasuk, this is very common. It's said for the first sentence, and then we express other ideas, which goes back under the banner and the heading of the opening words of the pasuk. The opening of the words of the pasuk are ki hitzalta nafshi. What did you save my neshama from? Well, number one, I'm still alive. That's pretty good, because a lot of people didn't make it this far. So that's already a blessing. Ki hitzalta nafshi mimavis. Number two, haloi ki hitzalta nafshi midechi. You save my neshama from being pushed away. So many times in my life, David says that people try to get rid of me. My own son, Avshalom, wanted me out. Shaul wanted me out. Goliath wanted me out. Everyone, my enemies, the number of enemies, so many different people kept on trying hard to push me out of my position for whatever their strange reason is.
He says that again, you know, in Ohavti ki yishma, at the end, that's right, you mean...
Midechi. Right, and at the end of
Tilla. It's constantly on his mind.
People, the concept of Dechi is a critical concept in Tehillim and in general in life of Musar Haskel for all of us. Haloi ragli midechi. Mitzudas David. Mitzudas David. Haloi was over here. Haloi bezehi tzalt gam ragli midechi. Miyois nidche mihistapeach benachalas Hashem. It's a pasuk that they tried to drop. Mihistapeach means like a sponge. To absorb. To be a sponge in absorbing the ruchnius, the opportunities of growth and development in this world. Everything in this world is an opportunity. Now, Rabbi Fishel Shachter, this very beautiful article this past week in Mishpacha magazine. Mishpacha magazine featured Harav Fishel Shachter. Rabbi Fishel Shachter, Baruch Hashem, I know him, not all that well, but I know him. I have a very nice relationship with him. He teaches. He's in Or Yitzchak, where I daven on Shabbos. He's one of the main. He's one of the rabbanim.
He's a good magid shir on the
document. Oh, so they wrote right here. Right. He's still listening for many years.
There were a few people heard, but he gave a much more. I don't know. It just seemed clearer.
Yeah. They write it up. So they wrote him up. They wrote up a beautiful article about him in this week's Mishpacha magazine. And I guess it's an honor that they published a book. Someone, I don't know, I didn't read the book, I didn't get the book yet. Mayor is going to get me the book. I'm going to get the book, and he'll probably have his best stuff there in the book all the years. And they wrote about Yesoid, a very nice Yesoid. Very, very, very pro, Mistapech benachalas Hashem. Very, very on the mark. What he said is that, you know, he has a lot of stories. He always has stories, the good stories. And he always says that he has an incredible talent of bringing out the mussar in the message in these stories. And 90% of these stories are things that happened to him. So someone said to him, Rebbe, how could it be that so many stories happened to you? All these crazy stories, it's impossible. All these stories, every day, you come in every week and you tell us another story and these are fresh things. So he said, I got news to tell you. These stories happen to you, happen to every single person. If you just only pay attention. Just pay attention. Train yourself to pay attention, and you'll have just as many stories as I have. No different than anyone else. It's just a matter of paying close attention. And that's what it means to adui mehistapeach benachalas Hashem. You don't have to go be the Gadol Hadar and be a Rosh Hashiva and be someone to David's that they're trying to push me out of being mehistapeach, being a sponge in absorbing the spirituality of the inheritance of Hashem. It almost sounds like you're talking about the Gadol Hadar, the Kohen Gadol, the Melech HaMashiach, who's in the Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem is radiating him with spirituality. There's some type of a Wi-Fi, some communication, extraterrestrial communication that you're being shoyev like a sponge. It's ridiculous. Every single person who walks the face of this earth is the same mehistapeach benachalas Hashem. This world is the nachalas Hashem. Hashem put a person in this world in order to grow, to seek opportunity in ruchnias. They are nisyonis. And if you only pay attention and you only deal with the messages, the signals, and the nisyonis, and you get the message, then you are no different than anyone, than the holiest person. Mehistapeach, a day goes by, what happened today? What was the lesson? What was the musa? What's new? What new sensation did I feel? Someone told me that he had a certain illness, a certain type of problem, health problem, and he said, he went to a lot of doctors, it's a chronic issue. He says, here's what he said, almost every day I have a new sensation from this illness, from this problem. A new type of, he says, we try trying to explain it, a new type of feeling, a new type of sensation in either it getting better or getting worse. And I always say to myself, did I ever have this sensation before? And the answer is usually no. It's new. This is new. And it gives me encouragement. Well, maybe it's getting better. Yeah, I don't think it's getting, unfortunately, the guy, it's been like this for a very long time. I don't think it's gotten much better, but maybe it's getting better. Maybe there's healing going on in the nerves, in something is happening. And like the person, a lot of hope. Oh, maybe it's going to get better because I have a new sensation, this never happened before, this type of thing. So the same thing in Ruchnias. Every single day a person has a new awareness of how Hashem conducts this world. And that is an opportunity to grow in Ruchnias, and that's called Mehistapeach. From absorbing like a sponge, your Ruchnias experience in this world that is the Nachalas Hashem. And when someone tries to push you out of this world or to push you out of your opportunities, that is a problem. That's a very big problem. And David thanks Hashem. I thank you, Hashem, that ki hitzalta nafshi, not just did you save my neshama mimoves. Halloy, repeat the words. Ki hitzalta nafshi, not only did you save my neshama from death, you also have saved my legs, my opportunity from being pushed away. You did not deny me opportunities until the very end. This one in the Mitzudos of Yer says, Haloi bezeh hitzaltu. See how the Mitzudos, he adds words into the pasuk? This is critical. He's showing us how to read a pasuk in Nach. This is a critical way to read a pasuk in Tehillim and to read the pasuk in Nevi'im Achronim. You have to train yourself to repeat words. The way psukim are written in Nach are not the way you read a sentence in a newspaper. Words are poetic. They're not in order, and more often than not, words are meant lechatchila to be repeated. He repeats the words, Haloi bozeh hitzalta gam raglai midechi. The translation demands that you add the words haloi hitzalta. We repeat the word hitzalta. We repeat the word. We repeat the word hitzalta. Haloi bozeh. Is it not so? He is word bozeh. That's an added word. But he repeats the word. The critical word is the word hitzalta. Then he has the word gam. Raglai midechi, mihiyois from being nitche, pushed away, pushed out. Mistapech benachlas Hashem, lehisalech, so that I can walk lefnei Elokim liknoi shleimus nitzchi, eternal shleimus, ashebo with which eshalech lefnei Elokim barachayim lechayei oylam. This is a very temporary world. Okay, we always say that to ourselves, and we don't believe it. We don't believe it. We're going to be here forever. Okay, we don't believe, but everything over here in this world is nothing more than a preparation, a hachana for the next world. Very scary. Okay, this concludes this mizmar. Let's see over here the Rashi. Rashi is Barachayim Lashuv. He types over here, not like a total disagreement from between the Mitzudas David and Rashi as to the translation of the Or HaChayim. The Mitzudas David says it means the next world. Rashi says it means Eretz Yisrael. Loshuv le'eretz Yisrael. Okay, I think we did all of the Rashi's, if I'm not mistaken. Now let's see over here some selected mefarshim. Let's jump to page 496 on the bottom in the Likutei Shas. The Likutei Shas u'midrashei Hatanoim on the very Nodi Sofarta Ato Simo Demosi Benoidecha Haloi Besifro Secha. Okay, so we have two different ways to translate this passage in the Besitzus and Rashi. You, Hashem, you have counted my wanderings. And then it says, Sima, he makes a demand, put my tears in your flask. And then he says, Haloi b'sifra secha. So we learn either it means, it's in your book. It's recorded in your book all of my tears. Or we learn, you counted. You've not just recorded my tears, because that would connote that you recorded that I cried. According to Rashi, I think it was Rashi, you actually counted, and according to the Mitzudos, Rashi said, it was Machlokes in Rashi and Menachem. Rashi said, Haloi b'sifra secha, b'min yoncha titnena, l'mnoisa im shor tzorosayt. Incredible interpretation that Rashi says. Rashi learns that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he counts literally every single tier. Every single tier has a number. Okay? Today we're very big into counting. They claim that article, official Shachter, has 7 million views on Torah Anytime. 7 million people clicked play to listen to one of his Shiurim. That's a big number. And that's just Torah Anytime. That's not even talking about the Daf Yomi. That's not even talking about how many people listen to his Daf Yomi Shiurim. 7 million times. They claim he has 1,200 Shiurim on Torah Anytime. And he has 1.7 million views. Wow. That's half of the Jewish people. Okay, obviously, only a small amount of Jewish people listen to his Shiurim over and over again. It's a mind-boggling number, even if it's only half true. even if it's only a quarter true. That's a mind-boggling number. 7 million people viewed his shiurim. Unbelievable, unbelievable. He has a lot of good jokes also. I remember he once said that there was a girl who was totally irreligious. She was chozer b'shuva. And she told him that she was chozer b'shuva because of him. And it's a whole story. Okay, but why did she even listen to him to begin with? She only listened for the jokes. She enjoys his sense of humor. So she was totally irreligious. I guess she grew up in a religious home, and she totally went off the deck, but she liked to turn on and listen to him, not because she's interested in the religious. She just loved his jokes. He has great jokes. So she just listened for the jokes. And somehow, some of the stories penetrated, and she was chozer b'shuva. Okay, so you talk about, you know, today everything is counted. Everything is counted. Everyone's in statistics, count this, count that. The Ribbono Shel Olam was ahead of the game, was ahead of his time. And he, according to Rashi, he counted every single tear that came down the cheek of a person. Haloi b'sifro secha. You have to be careful of fake tears, crocodile tears. Why are they called crocodile tears? They cry? So why is it called crocodile tears? Fake.
They're fake tears.
So what does a crocodile have to do with tears? They're in the water. That's why they're called crocodile tears. Make-believe tears. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of phonies out there today. People, they come in, people come collecting. They start to give you a whole... People, all in the movies. In the movies, they cry. No, don't they cry in the movies? How do they cry? How do they do that? How do they there's a whole industry of getting people to cry, fake crying in order for entertainment purposes.
They teach you in acting school, you know, you think of something very sad in your life and it'll generate tears, you know.
Scary. Very, very scary. The Ribbono Shel Olam, only he counts the real tears. The reason why Hashem needs to count the tears is because there are fake tears. And why are you crying? What is this all about? The Ribbono Shel Olam, it's written in his book. Just because the person cries doesn't mean all of a sudden, you know, he deserves, the whole world should come down to him. There has to be a legitimate reason. There has to be sincerity. There has to be panemius in the tears. Okay, let's see. Amar Mishum Alevi, Mishum Alevi, very bottom. Call Amar Mishum Alevi, Mishum Akapar, call Amar Demois Al Adam Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Soifran. Anyone who cries over the loss of an Adam Kosher, Hashem counts them. Umanicham, he puts them in Beis Ginozov, he puts them in storage. It's this pasuk. Shenemar Noidi, my wanderings, David says, my wanderings, Sofarta, you've counted, Ota. And here the end of the pasuk is, Sima Demasi Benoitcha, you've put my tears in your flask, Kalebis Sifrasecha, have you not counted them? Next, Drosha, Belukim Ahalal Dover, Bashem Ahalal Dover. Okay, that was what it said with those, this is going back to, This is really the pasuk before. I don't know why they bring it over here. This goes back. I'm going backwards now. Bring them farshim. Chayiv levarich al ro kashem shorach al toiva. Minayin. How do you know you make a bracha b'zman hazeh? Dayin ho emes. On bad news. Minayin. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omar mehacha. Ba'ashem ahal davar. Belukim ahal davar. Ba'ashem ahal davar zomid the toiva. So this is Mamish the Mukar. This very, very famous Chazal. That Chayiv Adam Levarich Al Hara Kishem Shemavarich Al HaToiv. It comes from this Pasuk. Principle that everything that happens in this world is a bracha. Good news, HaToiv HaMeitiv. And Rachmano Litzlan, bad news, Dayan HaEmes. Where does it come from? This Pasuk. Every midah, a person has an obligation, and every meter there's an obligation and I find interesting over here is the word kishem. Okay, this we discussed last week in relation to mishenichnas ador marbim besimcha. So over here, and I mentioned that it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and we discussed that this expression Mishenichnas Ador Marbe Besimcha is taken out of context. We do a terrible crime, we discuss this in great length, the whole shir, that we take this out of context, the context in which it says Kishem Mishenichnas Av Mema'atin Besimcha Mishenichnas Ador Marbe Besimcha. And a lot of them, this is not my idea, this is discussed with many of the Farshim, is that the joy of Adar can only be experienced with a background and a prerequisite of the miut of Simcha of Chodesh Av. Chodesh Adar is a milui of the tsar of Chodesh Av. There is a kishem that unfortunately people forget about. They put up signs in shuls and in schools, Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Bisimcha. That's a disservice. They should put up in the shul a sign, Kishen Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin Bisimcha, Mishenichnas Ador Marbim Bisimcha. There is no Marbim Bisimcha in and of itself. It's there's no such thing. It is a milui, it is a hashlama to the avelus of the Churban Yerushalayim. As we mentioned, the whole Megillah is all about, the center of the Megillah is the Aseres B'nei Haman. That defines the whole Megillah. This is the whole shiur we gave on Thursday. It's the Yisoy. At Kedei Kach, and we've mentioned many times, is that there's a halacha, there's a minog to put up a sign in your house. Does anyone put up a sign in your house? Mishnichnas Adam Arim Mesimcha. You put up in your house a sign? You put up in Chodesh Adar? Put it now. So you, do you? Is it is up there the whole year, or you only put up an Adar? So you take that right. So there is an inyan, there's a mina kadmoin that the Chodesh Adar to hang up only for Chodesh Adar, to hang up a sign mishenichnas Adar, a sign mishenichnas Adar Marim Mesimcha. Where do you put it? And in shul also, where do you put it? So the original, study the sources. There's another halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a person is supposed to have when you come into your home, an ama al ama that is unfinished, zecher l'chorben. Okay, whatever. It's, and by the way, many places can hold that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole, we have Baruch Hashem, we had a shir on this, a lot of Torah on this. But everyone knows this basic concept without going into the details. And Kama, you don't see anyone do this today, not in Chutz L'Aretz, but there's a halacha that a person is supposed to have in his home an ama al ama. Chazonish shir would be 2 feet by 2 feet.
I know 2 feet. Over the entrance doorway.
So the question is, where is supposed to be? Some say that when you walk into the home, it's supposed to be inside that when you walk in. Some say when you walk out, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, a whole sefer, and all of the halachos of the Amma al Amma in a bayis that is zecher l'chorban beis hamikdash. So the minig, it used to be that people did this. At least in Eretz Yisrael, they did this, and where it is, the ganze shmuz, where you do it. People in Eretz Yisrael, they're into this. They'll tell you exactly where it's supposed to go. Whole shmuz about this. Now, as important comes the next minhag. What's the next minhag is? Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. There's a minhag to hang up a sign. Where do you put the sign? You put the sign in the Amma al Amma. You don't put the sign on your refrigerator. You don't put the sign in the dining room. You don't put the sign in the hallway. You put the sign Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha in the Amma al Amma, that is the Zecher L'Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's where you put the sign. Why? Kishem. Mishenichnas Av Min Ma'atin B'Simcha. Kach. Mishenichnas Ador Marbin B'Simcha. There's a Kishem. The joy of Purim is only Kineged, the Tsar of the Churban Avelos. Nenela. Over here, this is very relevant, timely, what we're learning over here in this Chazal. Beloikim ahalel davar, Bahashem ahalel davar. According to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, take a knife, a sharp, really good sharp knife, slice this pasuk into two. Slice it. There's a concept, Ribbono Shel Olam, sometimes you deal with me harshly. Midas Adin. I have difficult days, difficult times. Nisyonos. Life is not easy. But you know what? Ahalal Dover. I'm a maimin. I thank you, Hashem. And then there are times where Baruch Hashem, everything is wonderful, making simchas, I'm happy, and I have good news to share, and all these wonderful things. Ba Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei Halal Dover. The average person, slice it. Hai l'chud v'hai l'chud. Not necessarily. They're related. There's a relationship. When a person makes a simcha, he has to delve very deep into what is really taking place. The simcha that you have in your life is an outgrowth of your success in dealing with the difficulties in life. It's not, okay, I have a nisayon, hayaluchot. I have a simcha, hayaluchot. The simcha I'm making, I'm marrying off a child, I'm making a sima shas, I'm becoming bar mitzvah for the second time. What? Yeah. Okay? You're becoming bar mitzvah for the second. My father used to wish us balabatim. My father used to wish us balabatim. They became. My father would never wish us balabatim. He has some very old balabatim. A lot of them are richas yamim. Some of my father's balabatim. He never would say to them, ad mea ve'estrim. Never. You don't want to tell a 100-year-old ad mea ve'estrim. Only 20 more years. If you made it 100 years, you only got 20 years left. It's never good to tell someone you have more yesterdays than tomorrows. That's not a nice thing to say to a person. You have more, think about it, you have more yesterdays than I have tomorrows. So once you get past 60, you don't say to a person, ad mea ve'estrim. Where does it come from, mea ve'estrim? It's not so poshut that there is such a thing. People say Moshe lived on. Aaron lived 123. Okay, who's the oldest person in the Torah?
Yisushela.
How long did he live?
969.
969. If he made it to 969, so why can't you make it to 969? Okay, today with technology and advancements, today with technology and advancements, there's no reason why life expectancy can't be. People can live very, very long. They shouldn't go ruin it though. All these mishagoyim out there. They who says they're doing good by some of the things they do.
You won't be able to start Medicaid until you're 110.
What?
You won't be able to start Medicaid until you're 110.
Hashem, we don't have to worry about these things. It's Hashem's world. Hashem will find a solution for all the social security going broke. And for global climate warming, don't worry. If Hashem brought this world this far, you behave in a normal way. Obviously, you don't go pollute the world. Some of these people out there, they're totally not. I mean, listen, I can't tell you. I'm only my opinion, but some of these ideas that people have out there are just beyond. Rabbi Chol will agree with me. I think are just absolutely out of their mind. Some of them, you can't eat meat anymore. To control the world. Hashem said, "Peru urivu umilu esaretz v'chivshua." Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about it. It's Hashem's world. He'll figure out a way for the world to survive. Obviously, don't destroy the world. Obviously, don't go pollute the world deliberately. You do respond, but not to be meshuga. Any event, going back over here to our discussion, this is a very deep idea. And over here, I think really this really it's a hashkacha process that we learned when I prepared this actually last week, and it was mamash the same day I prepared that the concept about kishem, and I'm learning this now. Mamash jumped out at me. This mamash hashkacha, nothing is a coincidence. What are the chances to learn this medrash and that and prepare for that show on Thursday? Zero. The chances are literally zero. It was a divine message for the Kollel. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself has spoken to the Kollel and has shown us over here that this very beautiful Chazal, which is very popular, that says here these words, Be'elokim ahalel davar, ba'Hashem ahalel davar, which is the makar for that you make a bracha hatov v'hameitiv on good news, and Rachman Alisson Layalain, a person makes a bracha of Hadayin or MS on bad news.
You can answer that.
And wait, what am I trying
to say? It's all together.
I don't think so, because there it doesn't say, no, see, they never taught us that. You see, it doesn't say in that Chazal the word Kishem. That's how we started today. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Sometimes Hashem is Noyeg. Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Yudke, wow, Rachamim. And sometimes you have a bad day, and it's not going my way, and it's Elokeinu, it's Elokim. So you have to acknowledge. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem Echad. Don't make a mistake and think there are two gods. It's the same Ribbono. This is not talking about, this is talking about expression. Shema Yisrael is Kabbalah. Is, we're not asking you to get up and make a bracha. No one's asking, you have a good day. Have a good day today. No one's asking you to go say halal today. No one's asking you to give tzedakah. No one's asking you for anything. Today was a good day. Not bad. There's a God. You know, look at that. Look at that. Things worked out for me. I feel Hashem is with me. And some days, where is Hashem? Where'd he go? He's on vacation? What happened to him? You have to acknowledge. The Ribbono Shel Olam was with you today the same way he was with you yesterday. There's absolutely no difference. Today you didn't feel it? Today was hesed upon him? Today you got a patch? So Hashem Echad.
So in this pasuk, the davar and davar is the same davar.
Okay, so you say good. You're saying very good. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Shema, is Kabbalah. It's Kabbalah. The day is over, reflect. Reflect, that's all we're asking you. This pasuk is asking you to get up and express yourself. Daven, lead the service. Give a concert. Express yourself. All these people today, they view their, it's a very unique thing today. These people today who perform, Mordechai Ben David, Baruch Levine, no particular order, I don't know all these singers, Shweki, I don't even know who the big machas are today, Avram, for all these people, whoever they always knew, a lot of them, they mamish view a concert, it's a beautiful thing, like it's a Yom Kippur davening. They mamish view their avoida. They put on a concert, Chalamoid. For them, this is going lifnai v'lifnim on Yom Kippur. It's beautiful. They these are holy people. These are not pashut people. And when they sing and they perform, the mamish, it's this is an avodas Hashem. Compare this lahavdil elif alfei avdolis. Go compare it to Billy Joel, or go compare it to what? Whoever, I don't know what they, when they give a concert, they could care less about Hashem. They're trying to be mechazik people in avodas Hashem. They're trying to mechazik people in life. It's 99% of them. It's a money opportunity, and it's fame and kavod, and it's pure pleasure that is not to be channeled for any higher purpose. It's a great, you have a concert and everyone screams and does whatever they want, have a good time, and you drink and you do this and do that. And if they make people happy, it's be happy just to be happy, because tomorrow you're going to be dead. It's not because you're channeling any good feeling to be a better person, to engage in Avodas Hashem. These Jewish singers, they're unbelievable. They're unreal. They're unreal. Every one of their performances, it is clear as day, is an avoida, like a shliach tzibur on Yom Kippur. You have a chashva shliach tzibur, and he goes, he davens musaf, puts in a 3-hour service, gives it all he got, like Rav Kalman was a shliach tzibur. You prepare for months, and you refine yourself. I know someone, he's a little wild guy, and he's the Baal Shachris. It's the Baal Shachris on the Yomim Noiroim. And he told me, it's very good on the Baal Shachris, because during the year I have a lot of nisyonos. And when I have these nisyonos, I remember, in a couple of months, you're going to be davening for the Amud, Tfilah Shachris, in a chosh of a place. You're going to do this Avera now? Really? You're going to do the Avera and you're going to get up there? In a couple of months, I think I'll pass on the Avera. He told me, you don't know how many Averos it stopped me from doing. So he told me. He says, it really, the Achrayis, okay, it's an Avoida. A concert master, a Goisha concert. What, he's not going to do an Avera because he has to perform? And ridiculous, there's no such thing. Adrab, he will do it, so he shall have more Slavas, right? More Slavas.
Why is Rabbi Shmuel
Maybe that goes to prove the point. Until we I learned that this concept of Kishem Mishanichnas Av Mimatid Bisimcha Kach Mishanichnas Adar Mar Bisimcha, I learned this pasuk. You take a good sharp knife, you slice it, Hailichud the Hailichud. Kamash Milan, no. They are related. Every experience a person has in life is interconnected to the Nisoyon. Now, we don't see it like that. And maybe what I'm saying is too much of a chiddush, maybe. But it can't be, it has to be some truth at some times to this. There is a correlation. And the proof there's a correlation is what it says in Chazal, kishem. What's the kishem? Kishem is just like some would just say in a very, very, in a very, very bland. Oh, chayil varach ala ra, kishem shorach ala toif. No. Chayev levarach ala ra. Period. Chayev levarach ala toif. What's the word kishem? What's the kishem? No. Chayev levarach ala ra. Kishem shelevarach ala toiva. There is a connection. There is a kishem. The kishem means the events of a person's life that bring him a nisoyon where it appears to be ra. Is correlated to the to a moment of revelation. There is a correlation. Kishem. And Chazal don't like it in this order, as Mark says. They turn it around. Because if Taka is a correlation, like the same way, Kishem Mishnichmas Av Mimatin Besimcha Kach Mishnichmas Adar. Okay, Eliezer told me that they would ban me from every elementary school, the share that I gave on Thursday. They would throw me out. How dare you bring into Purim the morning of the Beis HaMikdash? In third grade, Purim is pure joy. Pure joy. Mishloch Manos and Haman. Okay, that's in third grade. But you're here in Koilor, Rabbi Yisrael. This is post-doctorate school here. What?
This is the same thing that we do. Kishem shenichnas livrit, ken ikanes letorah. But there, because what's the bris? The bris is, number one, is very fast. Because right, Robert. Number two is a permanent. It's not going to break. Yichnas, nichnasta, nichnasta. Ken ikanes letorah. It's
going to
be
glatt.
Permanent and painful also.
Woohoo! Mark, why are you laughing so hard, Mark? Mayor's not laughing. Mayor's very.
No choice.
Mayor's content. Okay. So over here, this is a yesoid. This is a yesoid. I think this is a very powerful. It's in one pasuk. It's not meant to be sliced and diced. There is a correlation. There is a powerful correlation, and it's a new way of looking at life. Everything in life is stitched together. It's hard to want to accept that. And who says it's even true? Maybe, I think there is some degree of truth. Is it 100% true? Not likely. Who knows? But we certainly don't see it. Okay, we certainly don't see the correlation, the connection. But when it comes to Purim, there's no question that it's true. There's no doubt about it. That is clear, is that the Purim holiday is 100% an outgrowth of Tisha B'Av. The two are parallels, they go together. The proof is the minute you put in the box, in the box that says, Mematid B'Simcha, you know, you put up Mishnah Marve Mesimcha. The Simcha Purim is Mimale the Tsar of the Churim Beis HaMikdash. That's for sure true. To say over here in this pasuk, the word Kishem is a powerful word, and it opens up an idea. Okay, this is the conclusion. We are going near some tomorrow to go to the next Mizmar. Tomorrow we go to Mizmar Nun Zayin. Nun Zayin will be tomorrow.
Zion.
All right, we're going to stop here. Take a short break.
I have a different view on the derecha. Your promise is to me, not my nedar to you.
Right, that's what he says. That's what
no, he said, my nedar. I said, I'm going to give the nedar. I'm going to give karbon.
Okay, what is the Malam saying?
No, it's the nedar of my Kaddish Baruch Hu, then he's going to protect me.
Oh, okay. What you promised, the blessings that you promised us, you will pay Hashem. When we do what we're supposed to do, Hashem will reciprocate. The hoyo im shamoya tishmu al mitzvayis Hashem v'asisimus, and then Hashem will go and reciprocate. Beautiful, excellent. All right, we'll take a short break.
I didn't want to skip that.
No, good. Yeah, it's good. It's good you mentioned it. I didn't realize. I didn't appreciate what I was reading there.
It's like everything else. There's two sides to every word.
Sure, and more.
Me, I'm Alami.
All right.
What
are we learning?
About the Pareches. Pareches. V'vdilach ma'pareches ben ha-kodesh u'bein ha-kodesh ha-kodoshim. Got a pareches. What pasuk? We'll find the pasuk.
Shabbos is after 6:30.
Yeah.
Well, I said to Ripley, it's going to be roughly 8 o'clock again before. So.
Trouble.
She said that part of the reason
was it a government thing? Or?
Well, yeah, sure. They were getting $7,000 a month.
They could pay it.
And they were doing damage on that. Yeah, nah, it wasn't a good. I got the feeling that there were a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we don't know.
Somebody's talking that sort of.
Somebody's making money off of it.
Yeah.
No, but what it is they moved to the
Hillel
on Round Avenue. The center that was by us. That's
you
where they went.
You said to close down?
The Hillel on Round Avenue.
It used to be a J.
No, it was by us. Right.
Now you're right over Utica, right?
That's
what is where it was.
No more.
They gave it up.
So what do you have now? Nothing?
Nothing.
You just have the kitchen?
We have two beautiful kitchens.
So why don't you give it to the farmer to let it cater?
So, and the thing is, in Ralph Avenue where they are, they don't have the facilities to do the cooking.
So where are you doing the cooking?
They bring it from someplace else.
But you could get a catering in the facility.
We have a caterer.
Because you need one, does that
get
the
garbage? Is the cousin of the shul, not mine himself.
He doesn't have to pay for water and garbage.
My cousin.
I'll
set
you up with it.
Maybe Yeshiva
will move. No, he's a small
one. Oh, Yeshiva would move in there, but
I was not being run properly.
That's what it was.
Okay, let's look at the price.
It doesn't stop in there.
Okay, let's begin. We have a very interesting halacha in this week's parasha.